What's going on, planet Earth? My name is Teresa Beardsley, and welcome to my podcast, Backlot Action Force, formerly a zero waste guide for filmmakers and other people who go to work. But really, I've just evolved my podcast to be more about sustainability generally in the workplace, mostly on the film set, but definitely it's been really awesome to be able to have these great conversations with artists and independent filmmakers who are also activists and doing really, really cool stuff to, you know, bring more harmony to the world. So this week I am talking to an artist that I met through Instagram from underpegclothing.com, and her whole thing is about labor and knowing your worth.
So I'm Jenna from underpegclothing.com, and I am a clothing brand owner. I'm doing this right now as my side hustle. I also work a full-time job, and I'm an artist, designer, a lot of things. But, you know, lately my passion has been working on my clothing brand.
Oh, your shirt came in today.
Awesome. Nice. I'm glad you got it in time.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for the bonus stickers. Those are pretty cool.
Thank you. Oh, you're welcome.
It's crazy. You do literally all of that. What is your full-time job?
So my full-time job, I work as an HTML email developer for an e-commerce brand. And it's pretty good. I mean, it pays the bills. So
yeah. Hey, that's like the most important thing. I've always like had 20 jobs. Like, I think when I was living in New York, I had 3 jobs at one point.
But, you know, okay.
I lived in New York for 6 years on and off. I have like family up in the Heights. And so then I worked in Times Square, mostly as a bartender and a bar manager at the Edison Ballroom. And I also worked at like a burger joint. And then I, up on 101 on Broadway. And then I worked also at a dive bar on like 40th and 9th for quite a while. Yeah. And then that was like all to support my like creative habit.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's about. It's, you know, I think it's so important. Like, even if you're not doing what you love at the moment, just something to pay the bills while you work on your passion on the side, you know, super important, I think.
Totally. What part of New York are you in?
I'm on Long Island, so I'm about an hour and a half, depending on traffic, from New York City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have a car?
Yes. Yeah, Long Island, you have to have a car. The public transit on Long Island is not very good at all.
That's for sure. I think like definitely on like Staten Island, Long Island, anywhere that's like literally not in the city, you can totally, even like in Queens, it's like pretty easy to have a car. But Manhattan sucks.
Yeah, definitely. My brother moved to Manhattan probably like 10 years ago, and he ended up selling his car when he moved. So
yeah, I feel like you pay just as much, like if you want a spot in a garage, you pay like a month of, you know, that's like the same thing as paying rent. It's like $900.
Oh, definitely. You know, just taking one trip to the city, I think I paid like $50 for a couple hours or something. It was
it's ridiculous.
No, I was just gonna say, and like I was doing an art show, so it was like, okay, great. Like my $50 vendor fee now became like $100, you know. So,
oh no. So, what is your medium?
So, I consider my shirts art. Mm-hmm. So I love doing clothing. I love designing shirts, hats, hoodies. Even I've done some canvases, as you can see on the wall back there. Mm-hmm. But as far as being, you know, as far as doing more of my fine art, I like to paint murals. I like doing graffiti. Right now I have a wall that I built in my backyard that I like to spray paint on. And I also love drawing in my sketchbooks. I love to draw and design shoes as well. I like doing custom shoes. So I kind of got into doing that a little bit. Bought myself some Angelus leather paint to paint some shoes with, which is cool.
Oh, awesome.
Yes, that's really what I've been doing lately as far as art. But
I'm so interested in your company and your story. First of all, this podcast is technically about sustainability, but I feel like labor is such an important part of that, because we constantly have to, it's like juggle so many things in order to make it and even to just follow our passion. So I'm really interested in how you kind of came to underpaid came to you.
Yeah, so the main inspiration for underpaid was when I was working at a supermarket and I was, you know, taking on a lot of responsibilities. I did everything there from working the front end and ringing up customers, getting yelled at by Karens because their 30-cent coupon isn't coming off. I would, and I learned every department. I worked in the frozen department. I worked on stocking shelves. I worked in basically every department except for the bakery and produce department. And I started working there making minimum wage, which was $7.25 at the time in New York, which is pretty sad that was like 13 years ago. And the federal minimum wage is still $7.25. So I started out making $7.25 there. And after 5.5 years of working there, I was only making an extra $2.25 an hour, you know, learning all these new skills. So really, I designed the first underpaid shirt back when I was working at the supermarket about 13 years ago. And then I found a job in my field. I went to college to be a graphic designer. And I found a job in my field. And I started working there and left the supermarket. And this job started me out at $12 an hour, which at that time was only $2 more than minimum wage. And I just kept... I felt kind of cheated because I followed society's narrative of like, go to school for something you love and then go work for a company and everything will be all good. You know, you'll get benefits, you'll get health insurance, whatever. And, you know, the whole idea of like, you're able to go to college and get a cushy job doing something you love and work at that company for 30 years and then retire is kind of outdated. It doesn't really work that way anymore. You know, student debt is higher than ever. It's just college is more unaffordable than ever. All of these things. And, you know, while I did receive gradual raises while working at that company, towards the end, towards the 5 years at that company, I was making decent money, but it was such a toxic work environment where management would scream at you in the middle of the office. Like they would hang up like passive aggressive signs about how like you have to come in on Mother's Day, you have to come in on Memorial Day with no time and a half either. It was just really a toxic work environment. You know, the management used to tell us our designs suck. All kinds of stuff. And it was just, it really took a major toll on my mental health. So when I was laid off from that job in 2018, the beginning of 2018, I, you know, was really searching for that dream job. I was looking for a job where I could go in, feel fulfilled. It doesn't really feel like work because I do love design. I love designing. I love being a creative. I just hated the company I was working for. And as I was going on interview after interview, it was either one thing or another. I wasn't, you know, getting a job, or I would get a job offer for like ridiculously, you know, for less than I'm worth, basically. And
yeah,
I realized that I was searching for a dream job that I might not ever seek. So I decided after 5 months of being unemployed and just being exhausted, I decided to just create that dream job. And, you know, that's where I'm at now. I started an Instagram page for Under Pay Clothing. I started it. And about 10 years went by, like from when I designed the first underpaid shirt to actually launching the business. I even bought the domain in 2016. So I even sat on the domain for 2 years. But, and part of that was because I was kind of scared to take that leap. I was kind of scared to start the business, you know, fear of failure, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, it's, you know, that's where I'm at now. I'm really, you know, I work a job that I don't love, but I don't hate, you know, and I'm able to find my fulfillment and find my passion through Underpaid Clothing, which is great. So,
yes, that's so crazy. Like, I feel like fear of failure is such a huge barrier to doing, even to like finding a job, or like maybe you don't apply for the higher positions because you're not sure if you're qualified enough. And I feel like it's so common, I think, especially with women. I think definitely, I mean, it can be for everybody, but I definitely have noticed that.
Absolutely. I think that a lot of people go through that. I know I've gone through that, and I have gotten jobs that I didn't think I was going to get. Like, I didn't feel like I was qualified for, and then I got them. So I think that is a major issue. I don't know the answer to it. I think it's more of like a self-confidence thing, you know? I think it's more about believing in yourself. But, you know, I guess my answer to that is just try it. And the worst that could happen is a rejection, you know?
So I also noticed on your page that you ethically source your clothing as well. And I kind of wanted to know a little bit about that for you. In terms of like, does it cost more or cost less than you know, non-ethically sourced clothes, or what was that decision like for you?
Well, when I first started Underpaid Clothing, I definitely wanted to make sure that the clothes that we're using are not produced in sweatshops somewhere. Not only do I think sweatshop labor is horrible, I've seen documentaries on companies that use sweatshop labor, and it's sickening to me to see, you know, billion-dollar corporations here in the U.S. that, you know, utilize labor overseas where they're not allowed to speak out or they'll be shot. They basically only make enough money to eat like one bowl of rice a day, and they live in houses that are reminiscent of jail cells, and when it rains, the raw sewage floods their homes. You know, conditions like that are just disgusting to me. So I made sure to do a lot of research to make sure that our clothes are not made in factories like that. So I decided to use Bella Canvas and Next Level Apparel, because both of those companies both had the most transparency that I could find that shows that talks about how they're not produced in sweatshops. But not only that, they have some information on their website about how they are produced in ethical conditions. Bella Canvas especially has a lot of information about this, about how they take environmental sustainability into mind, and they had some information how they tried to limit their water intake, limit their energy intake, stuff like that. So I thought that was really great to hear. And not only that, I find they have really comfortable clothes. Are they as cheap as other companies price-wise? No, they're not as cost-effective as using another brand like, you know, that might produce their clothes in sweatshops or might not. Some brands I know for a fact use sweatshops, and I try to stay away from those. And, you know, it's important to me. So I did make sure to do a lot of research to make sure that, you know, my clothes are produced in ethical conditions. And, you know, like I said, it is a little bit more expensive, but they're also premium quality. They're also very comfortable too. I get a lot of reviews of people telling me that they're comfortable, you know, so I think I made the right decision there.
I love the fabric actually. Yeah, I'm kind of looking for it's light. It's I'm excited to put it on. And what do you have any resources that like that you specifically were using to research, or something that you really loved or found super informative?
Yeah, so I did find a page on Bella Canvas's website about I did find a page on Bella Canvas's website just talking about, you know, the whole subject of their sustainability. And you know, they had an entire section about how they're more sustainable than other companies.
Ooh, I have an interesting question. Have you ever had an employer bail on paying you?
Not permanently. Mm-hmm. So I have had employers that were supposed to pay me on Friday and then checks were late, you know, delayed until Monday or delayed until the following Friday. I have had situations like that. And I have worked for retailers that every single week they would underpay me, like literally. And I'd have to go to HR. I'd love to call out some of these brands, by the way, but I'm kind of not in, you know, I don't want your podcast to be sued or anything. That's why I'm being careful not to mention the brands. But I have had retailers that every single week would screw up my check, and I'd have to go to them and I'd be like, no, I really worked 30 hours last week, not 20. And they'd be like, oh, my bad. I'll just add that extra 10 hours onto next week. And from what I've talked to other people about it that work for the company at different locations, like they did it at like multiple locations. And to me, from what I saw there, I feel like they were like hoping that I wouldn't notice. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, so not only was I making minimum wage there, they were literally underpaying me. So I have had situations like that, and it's pretty sad.
Yeah, I it's crazy, especially because it's not like these companies don't have the money to pay you, you know, especially if they're big corporations. Like, they have the money to pay you, and it doesn't affect them if, like, personally, if they just pay you, you know, like, they don't get less money. I think that's what's super frustrating. I especially like with film, and everybody's basically a contractor per shoot, or you're like only a temporary employee or whatever. You know, even like with commercials, they'll just not pay you. Or like Disney's like net 60 or something. They pay you every 60 days or
really? That's crazy. Has that happened to you?
I've definitely had employers like bail on just paying paying me. I'm still waiting for a check, like for this, literally it's like one day of like a shoot that the, you know, I guess like the talent didn't show up or whatever. So they canceled in the middle of the day.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it's like literally for like $200, but I'm like, it's just fries my banana that people just think that they can like not pay people. Cause especially when you're working on a crew, you know, a lot of times you are making minimum wage and you're working 12 hours. And then, I don't know. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to who like don't have food in their homes, even though they work full time at minimum wage or full time plus OT, or whatever. And so when people just don't pay, you know, it puts people in a really bad place. Like people like live off their, you know, credit cards until they just don't have that anymore. You know, I've definitely had in New York. You know, employers not do not allow us to collect gratuity, and then they would pocket it for themselves.
That's maddening. It really is. And I've watched a lot of videos about that on YouTube. You know, just doing research for the brand, and you know, just watching content that's related to that, and. I have seen a ton of people who said the same thing. You know, they're working minimum wage jobs and they have to choose over paying their rent or buying food. And it's just like, we should be living in a society where jobs are paying enough, where you right. can afford rent and food. Nobody should have to decide over rent or food. Like, we need both. We need shelter. We need food. So we should be able to afford both. And there are so many factors that play into that, like unaffordable housing and stuff like that as well. But it's crazy.
Yeah, I feel like, so San Francisco, New York, and then LA are like the three craziest cities to pay rent in. And you can't find anything decent that's under $1,000. And like $1,000 will get you like a room. Maybe, but sometimes you can't. I mean, you have to kind of like bust your bum to even afford that, and like what it does to your soul. I think there was a book, and I can't remember who wrote it exactly, but it was a woman who worked at Amazon. She was a journalist. She worked in the Amazon warehouse, and was making minimum wage, working like, you know, these crazy hour days on her feet, miles and miles, walking miles. And then she had to, after 3 days, her body broke down. And then after like a week, she was like mentally like not in a good space at all. I think she started like having, you know, kind of like panic attacks or whatever. She went from like a really kind of cushy job to something that was totally different that I think a lot of us have to do at some point in our lives.
Yeah, definitely. And I definitely have seen what working in a toxic work environment can do to mental health, because I would say my depression and anxiety has never been at its worst than when I was working for my last toxic job. And it took... You know, it took a couple of years to, let me think, I haven't been working there for like 2 years now. It's been 2 years since I left that job, and 2 years since they laid me off. And I feel like I'm just like now starting to get better as far as my mental health. Like when I was working there, the amount of times I had to like excuse myself to the bathroom to go cry it out, or, you know, or had a panic attack, like so many times. It's just, I just kept thinking like, this is not how a job is supposed to be. Like, you know, it's just, to me, it's a simple equation. You treat your workers right, you pay your workers right, and your workers will do a good job for you. If you do the opposite, if you have no trust in your workers, if you pay your workers shit, like, what is the reason to care then? Yeah. Like, what's the reason to put in an effort at your job if you're not getting treated right and not getting paid right? It's simple.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you want to make sure that you get in?
Trying to think. I guess just the last thought would be to, I feel like oftentimes when we're working for a company, when we're, even if we hate that company, even if we're not getting paid what we're worth, I feel like sometimes we get comfortable at that company. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to encourage people to, you know, to really like know your worth, like really value your worth and not settle for less. I feel like we can often get comfortable. I know I have, even working for that toxic employer, I felt, you know, comfortable. It's a mm-hmm. job I could go into and know what to expect and things like that. Even though I was, you know, really just like, as far as my mental health, really unhappy there, really unfulfilled, and really not only dreaded coming to work every day, but felt anxious to go to work every day. So I think the biggest, you know, piece of value I could give other people is to not settle for that job that pays you less than your worth. And sometimes that's easier said than done. You know, for so long, I was looking for a new job and I couldn't find one that paid as good, or I couldn't find one that paid me what I'm worth. Mm. So, you know, I was seeking, and sometimes it's going to take a couple years. And sometimes if you can afford it, you might have to take a pay cut. You know, a little bit, but maybe in the end it'll be worth it, or maybe you'll gain more experience and you'll be able to take that to the next job. Or even if it's not, you know, an employer that you want to work for, if you want to start that company that you've always been wanting to start, but you're afraid to do it because you feel like, you know, you're not going to make it, or you're not good enough. Like, I started a business not knowing anything about business. I started a business not knowing anything about marketing, and I'm still learning. But I think the important thing is just go for it, because we don't want to grow old and have that regret of what if I went for my dream. You know, the biggest thing that scares me is regret, and we don't want to grow old and realize like, damn, I wish I just would have gone for my dream, or I wish I just would have, you know, done this. So I guess that's the, you know, my ending thoughts is just to, you know, go for it, you know, apply for that job you don't feel qualified for, start that business you've been wanting to start, just go for it, because sometimes you'll surprise yourself and, you know, you'll get that job you didn't think you were qualified for. You'll be successful in that business you didn't think was gonna, you know, take off. So, you know, and yeah, so that's what I have to say about that.
Amen. That's so true. Aw, thanks, Jenna. I really appreciate you coming on here and talking to me about underpaid and your story, and thank you so much for sharing everything with me. It's really great.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate you having me on. Can I shout out where to find me?
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, so on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok, it's at Underpaid Clothing, and the website is underpaidclothing.com.
And what's your podcast?
Yes. So my podcast is the Hello, I'm Underpaid podcast, available on all major platforms that, you know, have podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search for Hello, I'm Underpaid podcast.
please follow Underpaid Podcast and the Underpaid Project on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook. Check out her line of clothes at underpaidclothing.com. And as always, if you want to support this project even further, first of all, the best thing that you can do is, number one, follow us on social media at Action Force, which is spelled AXN Force, FORCE, at Action Force. Backlot Action Force is just too long, but you can still type that in and find us because we're the only one out there. But find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest. Interact with us. That's like the best way to boost our algorithms and just get us seen more often by more people. That is like so important to us. If you want to take your support to the next level, you're more than welcome to go to our anchor.fm page, and you can do like a monthly, like $5 subscription, or you can just do like a one-time donation and just drop some dollars there. Basically, everything goes to paying Jeremy Robinson, who does this awesome theme song and the mastering for this podcast. And, you know, it helps us, you know, keep all of our stuff free to the public, you know, without ads or whatever. And, you know, we just want to do that. So any little bit helps to get this going. Do I have anything else to say? I think that's it. No. I think that's it. Peace out, planet Earth.